Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, Larry Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Not much. Good to have you on the show. You know, another day, another dollar, and another Met loss. But we're gonna get into that moment. We're going to get into that momentarily. First, I'm going to talk about the LeBron James decision part three. Then we're going to talk about the ongoing Red Sox versus Yankees series. And then, of course, I'll talk about the Mets' never-ending quest at ineptitude. I'm going to definitely get into that one. All I have to say is DeGrom, and he ain't the culprit, but we're going to get into that. And, of course, we're going to talk about, the latest stuff that's going on in WWE and maybe some surprises here and there. But, of course, I want to thank you guys for listening to this episode. And, Mac, I'm glad you're here as well.
Anytime.
So, thank you. So with that, man, let's talk about the latest news in NBA. Durant, he re-signed with the Warriors, 2-year deal. We all know that. Cantor, wisely took the 18.5 player option and opted in with the Knicks, and even had a whole big promotion about it, saying, make Knicks great again. And he even had the Clintons, Hillary and Bill, there to present it with the Knicks jersey, But my question is, when since the Knicks was great under Cantor's tenure last year? I mean, I love the guy, but of course we know the biggest news that we all knew is that LeBron James opted out of his contract, and now he's going to take his talents to ... And here's, of course, we don't know right now, but if I was a betting man, which I'm not, I think he's gonna co-star not only with Lonzo Ball, but he's gonna co-star with what's his name again? I forgot his name. I see their face. What's the name?
Paul George.
Crap. No, well, not only Paul George, but Emma Stone and why can't I see his face?
A celebrity?
Ryan Gosling in La La Land. He's going to the Lakers. I couldn't remember Ryan Gosling's name. I was gonna say Ryan, but I'm like, no, that's not him. So I just ruined my whole intro. So yes, he's going to La La Land. He's going to the Lakers. He's gonna be the 1 millionth Hall of Famer to sign with the Lakers and win a title there. I definitely think it's coming because, LeBron, sure he can sign with Houston. Sure he could sign with he's not going to be able to sign with the Warriors. Money-wise, if he could do it money-wise, he would go to the Warriors. Let's be honest here. LeBron James is going to go to any team that's going to make him win the title easiest because, he's chasing Jordan. He wants to be the very best that no one ever was, like Michael Jordan or Bill Russell. But I mean, this guy, man, he's like Thanos, man. He's like the Mandarin. He's after that ring, the Infinity Stones, man. He just wants to win it all, which I can't blame him. But that was my whole criticism about Phil Jackson. He never wanna like build a team from the ground up. He always wants to be with the best players, you know, at the best time. He wants the perfect situation and win the title. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, there's still a possibility he could go to 76ers and be part of that process over there. You know, he could go to the Celtics because that team is like one player away from winning it all if they could, you know, stay healthy. You know, and of course, you know, they're trying to re-sign Irving over there, which obviously Irving and LeBron, you know, I don't think they want to play with each other right now, if ever, because look, Irving looked like he wanted to leave out of LeBron's shadow, even though he had an MVP series, you know, in that NBA Finals when they won it that year. But, I think LeBron's going to go to the Lakers. You know, he wants to be part of that glitz and glamour, you know, the Yankees of basketball. You know what I mean? You know, it's either the Lakers or the Lakers or the Celtics. You know, those are the two major teams that he would want to go to, two premier teams, the two teams that won titles. And as we all know, LeBron James, when it comes to sports, growing up, he's a front runner. He's a Yankee fan during the 90s. He was a Cowboys during the 90s. He was a Bulls fan in the 90s, you know. So I think the pattern's going to continue. He's going to go to the best, you know, front-running team available. So, yeah, that's what I think is going to happen. What do you think?
I mean, logically, it doesn't make sense for him to go to L.A. because L.A., I mean, they're rebuilding. They don't have superstars that
Absolutely.
Cleveland had. You know, if he goes, and
Absolutely.
Plus he's going to be in the West competing with the Warriors. So, logically, that move doesn't make any sense whatsoever unless he gets another superstar like George or Kawhi to come there with him.
Kawhi, I think that's definitely going to happen.
You know, right now it's a possibility, but, you know, who knows. But, I mean, the smart thing for him to do would be stay in Cleveland and for Cleveland to recruit George or Kawhi to come over there. Yeah, I still think, you know, there's a strong chance he stays in Cleveland because I'm not buying that, you know, I'm not buying that much that he's going to L.A. or Sixers, no matter how enticing those places are. I mean, the easiest way for him to win another ring would be to stay in Cleveland because the East is weak, you know, and he could go to the finals every year with Cleveland and just bring another superstar
Absolutely.
Like George or Kawhi over there. I mean, that's all he needs right now.
Absolutely. That is always an option. But then again, I'm losing my train of thought here. That is always an option. But then again, he was enticed by Pat Riley to go to Miami.
And he had his friends there also.
Right, but Los Angeles Lakers, man, they have that aura and that mystique of winning so many titles over there. You know, ever since they were in Minneapolis, you know, they've won titles. It's always been the Celtics and Lakers battling out for NBA supremacy, you know. Obviously, the Lakers are on tough times now, obviously, but, you know, the Lakers, you know, they're always a few players away from being a title contender. And I don't know if you heard, Magic Johnson himself said that if he doesn't lure a superstar or at least two superstar players in L.A., he's not going to wait for Jeannie Buss to fire him. He's going to resign. So I think he has something brewing. I think he's definitely going to get, at the minimum, the Kawhi Leonard to get traded to Los Angeles. So I think he has something brewing here, you know, to put his legacy on the line. You know, I think there's something cooking in LA.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
he did go to the other coast. Remember, he won two titles in the other coast. Warm weather in Miami. You know, he could get lured to another warm glitz and glamour city, LA. So I think that's very possible.
Yeah,
even though it's not the ideal situation, because he is in the West and he's directly going to battle with Golden State instead of the finals, which would end his streak of facing them, you know, in the finals if he did that. So that is something worth noting.
Yeah, I mean, it still doesn't make any sense, you know, if he goes to L.A., because L.A. right now, they don't, you know, they're not a championship contender right now by far.
Right,
you know,
yeah,
and they don't have a top.
Absolutely.
I mean, Ball is not a superstar. You know, he's not Kyrie Irving. He's
absolutely
not Dwayne Wade. So LeBron definitely
except
is going to need. Yeah, I mean, he's definitely going to need two more players at least to join him on that team to contend. But, you know, it's, I don't know. It wouldn't make sense for him to go to L.A.
I agree with you. But I think history is on its side, and with Magic Johnson being hungry to lure superstars over there, I think it's something worth noting or keeping your eye out for. I mean, obviously 76ers, you know, Boston, you know, that's a you know, practically already made team for him. Or he could even do something even shocking and go to Minnesota with that young team. Even though they're not ready yet, they're very young and talented, but I don't see that happening. Because Lakers is the only like reclamation project city I could see him going to, where our franchise is in on a championship caliber team. But like you said, if he stays in Cleveland, he has that recruiting ability to draw any player.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if he signed with the Alaskan Penguins, they're gonna just any player's gonna go over there. You know what I mean? And no matter what team he's playing on, he has that recruiting drawing power. So, I mean, you're absolutely right. You have a valid point. He could stay with Cleveland.
Why even though
Sixers?
I think the Sixers
would
be a great fit for him. I mean, that's if he goes to Sixers automatically become the best team in the East. No question.
Yeah. The process is complete. It's done. It's a done deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, for real. It would be like the days of Dr. J all over again.
Yeah. True.
You know, if they got LeBron, I mean, come on. So that's the teams. Those are the teams we think that he's going to go to or remain. In Cleveland's case, what team do you think he needs to go to?
That he needs to go to? I mean,
yeah, I think. I mean, obviously, I'm saying like to resuscitate a franchise. Obviously, for his career, for championship titles, you know, going to 76ers, Boston, you know, Houston, or even going to OKC, you know, if they could get their act together, you know, that's a possibility as well.
Personally, I think he should stay in Cleveland, you know. I mean, that's where that's his hometown, you know, and he still needs to show that, you know, he needs to redeem himself. I mean, he did win a title there. That's just, but he did redeem himself. But like now you got a team that is lacking superstars. You know, you have to prove yourself once again with this team and not bail out like you did the first time. You know, he has to like show Cleveland that he could win with these group of players without needing a superstar. You know. I mean, he did get them all the way to the finals last year, which was a true accomplishment of his greatness. But he needs to show that he doesn't need another superstar to get him by, that he can carry a team and win the championship.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I feel he feels he doesn't have anything else to prove in Cleveland. He got him a title. It's all about him. He's the king. He wants to win another ring. You know, it's all about him. So I don't see him going to a reclamation project, you know. And it goes back to my question. The team I wish he would go to a team that would desperately need him out of all teams in the franchise, I mean, of all the franchises in the NBA, would be, of course, the New York Knicks. But with Cantor opting in, that 1% chance of him actually signing with the Knicks is just completely null and void. Because, one, the Knicks, you know, have been the laughing stock of the league, I mean, for like nearly 20 years, basically, you know. But they need, but if he was able to, if Cantor would have done something unselfish and obviously dumb by turning down a guaranteed $18.5 million contract, theoretically, Cantor could have re-signed at a lesser deal. LeBron could have signed, I don't know, maybe a one-year deal, maybe, or two, or whatever he feels like signing. And then they could have lured a free agent next year, you know. But that's more science fiction than the Star Wars franchise, and that obviously wasn't gonna happen, you know. But the team out of all teams in the NBA that needs a player like LeBron James to resuscitate a franchise in a desperate need of a jolt, a buzz at the world's most famous arena, an arena that's always, you know, have lights out during the playoffs, unlike how it was in the 90s when it was rocking and rolling and you had, you know, stars from all forms of entertainment, you know, on the court, sitting on front row seats, chanting defense. The only time you get that buzz from the Garden is when it's the last game of the series, the season, when they keep winning the last game of the season, which basically ruins their draft chances for the past couple of seasons. So that's my thought on that. The Knicks, I mean, need LeBron James.
It would be great,
but
you
they'll never have him because he doesn't want to come.
I mean, as a huge Knicks fan, that would be great to have LeBron James on the Knicks. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, with this franchise and ownership, I don't trust them having LeBron because they wouldn't even know what to do with him. If LeBron James came here to the Knicks and Dolan would ruin his legacy. No question about it. Just like they ruin every other person that's come here legacy, you know. So
like Melo.
Well, not Melo, but like, you know, you see a lot of people, a lot of coaches, Phil Jackson, you know, a lot of players that have come here. Yeah, it's like a curse. The Knicks are a curse right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they need something to jolt them. That's why they're the team out of all the teams in the NBA that needs it. Like Ray Allen said, you know, the NBA isn't, you know, the same without the Knicks, you know, being a competitive team. You know, he picked, you know, LeBron to possibly going to New York, which obviously that's not going to happen if that was ever going to happen, because a lot of these players, man, they want to go to a ready-made team. I mean, it's their prerogative. No one wants to, like, help build a team up from the ground up and win the title the old school way. You know,
well, I mean, the Lakers. Yeah, but then again, the Lakers are not a ready team. You know, they're the Lakers are almost in the same position as the Knicks.
Yeah, but the Lakers, man, the Lakers are always gonna bounce back, man. The Lakers are the Lakers. Look at the Celtics. Just a few years ago, the Celtics was a bad team as well. But look,
yeah.
Celtics, they turned it around.
You know why? Because the organizations.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I was about to say. If you got a great run organization where, you know, you have a smart GM, a good coach that can turn it around. I mean, Scott Perry and David Fizdale, they have that potential to be, but I mean they're not proven on a championship caliber level as GMs and a head coach. Obviously, you know, Dave Fizdale won titles with Miami, as an assistant coach. But, you know, that remains to be seen, you know, because he's coaching in, you know, this is what, his third season as an NBA coach after, you know, after his stint, his brief stint with the Grizzlies. So he hasn't proven himself on that, you know, head coach level. But, you know, we'll see what happens with that. Oh, yeah, and another thing about the Knicks, there was a rumor that James Dolan was going to like separate the Knicks and the Knicks and the Rangers from MSG, and which would ultimately lead to them potentially selling off the teams, or at least selling partial ownership of the team to a new owner. Me and you, we've talked about this off the air, or you know message each other about this off the air, and it's basically this, man. I believe it when I see it. Mac, you still here?
Yeah, I'm still here.
No, what's your thoughts about? Oh, you got caught off?
Oh, no, I thought you got cut off for a second.
Oh, no, I was just saying about what's your thoughts about the whole Dolan possibly selling the Knicks?
Well, I mean, right now it looks like, Dolan confirmed that he has no plans to sell the franchise right now.
Yeah, I heard that.
He's still going to retain ownership of the Knicks and the Rangers. So, I don't get this this plan of him separating the Knicks and Rangers into a separate company from MSG. And I guess maybe he's going to sell some shares of Knicks and Rangers, that Knicks and Rangers company, to, minority owners. I don't know. I'm confused by this plan that he's looking to do. Yeah, it is. But it looks like he's going to retain ownership.
That clarification came by like on Friday night, because Wednesday is when this story broke, and then Friday is when basically they clarified they wasn't gonna sell the team. You know, which is what I believed. You know, I always had that "I believe it when I see it" kind of mentality, because I know full well when you think something's gonna happen or you think a star player is gonna come on your favorite team. You know, for example, like DeAndre Jordan, when he was signing with the Clippers, even though obviously I'm not a Clipper fan, I'm a Knicks fan, but you know, he had a handshake agreement to sign with Dallas, and even though he agreed with them at the 11 o'clock hour when he was about to sign the deal, he changed his mind and re-signed with the Clippers. And I think the rumor right now is that Clippers are rumored to be trading DeAndre Jordan to the Mavericks. So it looks like Mark Cuban forgives him, and he still wants him on the Mavericks. So, I mean, it's just, you know, sports is a strange thing. So, yeah, I never believed this story from the get-go. Like, the only way I would believe that Dolan would sell the team and we have a new owner is if they had a press conference. You see the new owner, and then he signs away the team, and the other guy confirms that he's the new owner. And that's obviously not going to happen anytime soon. So, that's that. But speaking of, front office moves, here's a shocking one. Sandy Alderson, you know, the longtime baseball executive / GM, you know, of course he was the GM of the 89 championship Oakland A's team. And, that franchise at that time period, they went to 3 straight World Series appearances that year. Then he got in charge of the Padres during the late 90s, where they infamously got swept by the Yankees in 98. And then, of course, for the past, 7 years or so, he was the GM of the Mets. And, unfortunately, his cancer has came back. So as a result, you know, his tenure as the Mets, you know, highlighted by the 2015 NL champion New York Mets. You know, he has to, as of right now, it looks like he's calling his, you know, calling it a career. You know, he's, 70 years old. And unfortunately for him, you know, he, obviously he'd want to, you know, leave the team off a championship, you know, win with the Mets. But unfortunately, that's not the case. He's leaving the Mets and, you know, unfortunately due to his health, you know, at the worst possible state that it is. But obviously, more importantly, is his health. He has to fight this cancer again. You know, he beat it a few years ago, and, you know, God willing, he'll do it again. So, you know, my thoughts and prayers are with him, and I hope he can beat this cancer again. So, what's your thoughts on the situation?
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, you know, that he's sort of going through this battle, and that, you know, he has to deal with this, this, you know, terminal illness again. But, you know, he made the right decision to step away, you know, and let, you know, the other owners deal with this. And, you know, the best of luck to him, you know, on, you know, him battling this cancer and his future endeavors.
Yeah. And as a result, you know, John Rico is sharing the GM duties with J.P. Ricciardi, you know, the former Blue Jay GM, and, of course, Omar Minaya, the former Met and Montreal Expos GM. So as a result of the Mets now officially the worst team in the National League after losing several games to the Marlins back-to-back, most notably, let me see. I think yesterday's game they lost 8-2. This game they lost what? I think three to two. Well, basically, the Grom was supposed to pitch Friday night, but due to undisclosed family issue, he left. You know, he left the team to deal with it. He came back Saturday afternoon to pitch. He pitched well, you know. He had a 2-0 lead thanks to solo home runs by Jose Bautista, his third as a Met, and of course Todd Frazier hit a solo home run to give the Mets a 2-0 lead. But as we all know, with any lead, whether it's a 100-0 lead, with this Mets pitch bullpen and defense, no lead is safe. But the bullpen wasn't today. Basically, DeGrom, you know, had a 2-0 lead. He gave up a home run, I think his name was Ryan Anderson, you know. I think that was his name. And then afterwards, with two outs, a runner at third, you know, ground ball was hit to Flores. DeGrom was about to go to first base, but he assumed that Wilmer Flores was going to grab it and go to the bag, step on the bag himself. But no, Wilmer Flores dives for the ball, grabs the ball, and tries to tag the guy as he misses the tag. The guy, I think the batter was Riddle, if my memory serves me right. He's safe. And as a result, the runner at third scores the lead run. And as a result, the Mets would ultimately lose another game. And as you would expect, DeGrom, he's now 5-4 because he's had like at least 11 games where he had a lead and the bullpen blew it this year. So normally DeGrom, he's, you know, he doesn't voice his opinions about what happened, you know, after the game. But this is what he had to say after the game. So I'm definitely frustrated. Frustrated how the night went. I'm tired of losing on this. Everybody, it is. That's not what we want to do. We came here to win ball games, and we're not doing it. We have to find a way to do that. And then he said they came, you know, they came and said, do you have much left? And then he said that he said, I don't have much left. And he said, well, do you want to go back out? I'm guessing he's talking about Callaway. And DeGrom said, I don't think I have much left for you. I'm sorry. So basically, DeGrom is, you know, beyond fed up by the bull. Well, in this case, Flores' defense blew the game after he gave up a two-run home run. And the Mets, you know, didn't score enough offense. That's a sign of a horrible team. When you score runs, you can't hit. When you score runs, you can't pitch, and when you pitch, you can't hit. And for the most part lately, the Mets have been pitching well, with the exception of Vargas. I mean, you know, the Mets starting pitcher has been doing well, but when they do well, they don't have the bats can't hit. So as a result, the Mets lose yet again. So that's just the way it is. So basically, the Mets are rumored to trade practically everybody. They're definitely going to trade Familia, who blew a save a few days ago. You know, this is his worst year of his career thus far. Kind of reminds me of Benitez last year with the Mets, when they traded him to the Yankees for Felix Heredia, if my memory serves me right. Mets are not going to get anything for Familia, because Familia has been he was just like the World Series Familia from 3 years ago. They're not going to get anything from him. As a result, they're going to have to trade away Cabrera, even though Cabrera's the MVP of the Mets. They're going to trade him away. And then, unfortunately, DeGrom is that there's a possibility they might trade DeGrom. Syndergaard, I don't think they'll trade him because he's injured. So there's a possibility they might trade him in the off season. Wheeler's a possibility. Maybe even Bautista, since, you know, this is a lost season. They don't really need him, you know, even though he hasn't done that badly as a Met. But, you know, it's tough, man. In a perfect world, you want to keep your starting pitching, and especially DeGrom and Syndergaard. Those are the two guys you got to keep. But it looks like they're gonna go on a full fire sale, because this season is beyond loss, and now the Mets are officially the worst team in the National League, and it's just going to take them not too long to be officially the worst team in baseball, because that's clearly what they are. So what's your thoughts as a Yankee fan, the state of the Mets?
Well, I mean, the Mets, you know, right now, the Mets are bad, very bad. I mean, and they don't have much assets to trade. I mean, you mentioned DeGrom, Syndergaard, Cabrera, Familia. I mean, I see teams being more interested in DeGrom and Syndergaard. I mean, those are the two names I keep hearing that teams are possibly looking to trade for. But they're going to have to trade one of those two guys to get, you know, guys in the minors. They have to rebuild their farm system. Because remember the Yankees a couple years ago when the Yankees pretty much weren't, you know, they weren't in the pennant race. They decided to trade Chapman to the Cubs. They got back some pieces, which included getting Gleyber Torres in that trade. And they also traded Andrew Miller. So they parted away with their best bullpen guys for prospects. And it's worked out for the Yankees, who pretty much rebuilt their farm system in just a few years. I mean, Mets could do the same thing, but the Mets, they're going to have to trade those two guys if they want to rebuild their system, because right now, you know, it's not looking good, you know? So you're going to have to trade either DeGrom or Syndergaard to get, you know, some young guys back and, you know, start rebuilding right now, you know, because, you know, they are the worst team in baseball at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that. You know, if you trade away DeGrom, they'll get prospects back. But, you know, it's not as easy as it seems, because, you know, Syndergaard, DeGrom, you know, these are homegrown guys. You know, they started their careers, you know, with the Mets. You know, it's not that easy to just trade away your stars, your biggest stars on your team. You know what I mean? And, yeah, it's really bad, man. This is arguably the worst Mets team I've seen. I mean, I've seen a lot of horrible Mets teams. Trust me. In the 20 years I've been a Mets fan, nearly 20 years I've been a Mets fan. But it's really bad. Like, I mean, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, this is as bad as 92 and in 2002. I mean, it's really bad. Like, I don't even know what to say about this team. I mean, I just hope that if it's not the three men who are GMing or the GM, I hope they can get somebody who's qualified to turn this thing around, because the Mets desperately needs to turn this Titanic ship around.
Yeah,
so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, like I said, they need to get younger, they need to get veterans, and they need to spend money. I mean, you know, they have to spend during the off season, get free agents to come here. You know, it's like, you know, Seth Perez is the last.
Machado.
Yeah, Machado, you know, they need a big free agent to come to help them out.
Machado is the perfect guy to resuscitate the Mets franchise, but they're not going to spend the money, and that's the problem. That's why Mets are always going to be – they're going to be that team that's they're pretenders. They act like they want to contend, but they don't want to spend any money to get anybody of value. So what they do is they sign veteran washed up players who are past, you know, their career years on the back of their baseball cards, and just act like they did something, pat themselves on the back, and then not win another title. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's messed up, you know. And if they're not going to spend the money, they got to at least draft, you know, perfectly. You know what I mean? They need to fix their minor league system. Apparently they have some good guys down low, but 2018 really needs some good players. You know what I mean? Like, the only good players that I could think of offensively that they have in the upper levels is Peter Alonso, who's a first baseman. He supposedly he's not great defensively like Dominic Smith is, but this guy is raking it in the minor leagues. And then you got Tim Tebow. Yes, Tim Tebow. He's actually, you know, he's actually hitting well in Double A now. As compared to how he was hitting last year, you know, he made the Double A All-Star team. So he's improving. He's not a major leaguer yet, but then again, the way how the players are on this team playing, these guys don't deserve to be in the major leagues either. So
yeah.
Mets definitely need to shake things up. So that's that. On to the Yankees. Basically, Yankees split the series. They lost early today, 11-0, but they won Friday night. And what's your thoughts on the team? Teams, Red Sox versus Yankees.
You know, both of these teams, you know, I think it's the first time ever that they've entered the season with a winning percentage over .650 this late in the season. So both teams are trying to win that division, you know, because they don't want to play that one game wild card. That wild card game. They want to avoid that. But Yankees won yesterday 8-1, and then today Yankees get pounded like a porn star 11-0. You know, so tomorrow you got Severino on the mound, so hopefully Severino stops the bleeding and Yankees can win that. But right now Yankees, you know, as good as they've been, they could still be better offensively. Giancarlo Stanton could, you know, you might see him heat up after the All-Star break. You know, Greg Bird, he needs to step up, and Sanchez got injured, so he'll be back in several weeks, and he's another guy that needs to be more consistent offensively. So as good as the Yankees have been, they could be even better, you know. And you also need another pitcher. I hear that they possibly might go after J Happ or Bumgarner from the Giants. I hear DeGrom. Yeah, I hear different names. So Cole Hamels. Yeah, so now right now they need another pitcher in the rotation because
even Michael Fulmer from the Twins. I mean, from the Tigers.
Yeah,
the minor league pitcher that the Mets traded away for Cespedes. So
yeah, I hear his name.
I think that's the guy who they're gonna get. To be honest with you, I think.
I mean, I would love Happ. Honestly, Happ would be my pick.
But yeah, you know, I think I think Yankees will bounce back tomorrow. You know, keep Devers prevent him from hitting another grand slam, and I think Yankees will win tomorrow night. So, but lastly, what's your thoughts on WWE?
Oh, it's
about the woman.
Well, I like this. I like that WWE now is trying to push Lashley a little more, you know. I like this push that they're giving him.
Yeah.
So I think this feud with Roman Reigns is going to lead to something, you know. I like it.
Hopefully. If they actually – the only way I like it is if he actually beats Roman Reigns for the number one contendership and actually face Brock Lesnar, I would assume ideally – at SummerSlam, you know, if the rumors is that he's leaving as champion and not defending the title. So yeah, the only way I believe this feud is if Lashley wins number one contender and actually have that dream match against Brock Lesnar. And then the other major news in WWE is that Team Hell No is reunited. Daniel Bryan, you know, he joined forces with Kane, who's a mayor. You know, I forgot. I think in Tennessee. So now they're reunited. But yeah, we'll see what happens with WWE. You have anything you want to say quickly?
Oh yeah, check out my show IMAC here shortly on Block Talk Radio at midnight, and come back here check out Sports of the Legend every Saturday at 11.
You're the guy. Check out this show every Saturdays at 11. Check out this show also on YouTube. And I'll see you guys next week. Peace.